1, verse 26. In the sixth month, that would be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the first part, you probably know, but Zacharias, a priest, was visited by an angel Gabriel in the temple. He and his wife could not have children. The angel said, "You're going to have children." He didn't believe. He's been struck dumb. And now his wife has become pregnant, and she's in her sixth month of pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed her. Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it to our hearts and our lives. I'm going to be going through verse 36, really, and then we'll take up the rest tonight. But let's start with a bigger picture, the biggest picture possible. And brothers and sisters, God has a plan. God has a plan of salvation. And in this plan of salvation, God works it out in the history of the world. And he works out this history through these people in the world, and they're just normal human beings. God will call certain of these people into his service. And when he does call them, he assures them, and most often he reassures them, and he encourages them, and he gives them all the information they need to be able to obey the call. He promises to be with them in their time of service, and then he provides all that that person needs to accomplish their task. He assures them and he reassures them. Meeting a messenger or meeting God himself is a very frightening and a very troubling experience, even for a believer. Read all those people in the Bible who met God, and many of them were filled with fear at the presence of the Almighty God. But God takes time to assure them, and if they need it, to reassure them, and if they need it, to encourage them in their task. He gives them the information they need. Oftentimes, God will help them along in their thinking by using phrases, Bible language, if you will, from other events in the Bible that are similar to this one. And he does this to remind them that, yes, this happened in the past, and God used this person to accomplish a task very similar to mine. And therefore, seeing that it has already happened, I know that God can do it already in my life. Sometimes God will quote a prophecy and say, "Okay, now I'm going to fulfill this, and you're a part of it." And then for those who are weak of faith, which we almost all are, he will provide a sign, proof, visual proof, or some other kind of proof that what he says is true. Today, I'd like to see how God calls the Virgin Mary into his service in the plan of salvation. In reality, Mary's not a very likely candidate for an important place in the history of salvation. She's just a teenager. But she is a believer in God, and she is trying to show her faith and obedience to God's command because the Bible emphasizes her virginity. She also knows her Bible like every Jewish person did. She knows the history of salvation well and the promises that they're all hanging on, waiting for the Messiah to come. She knows the prophecies that are describing the coming Savior. And all of this knowledge is going to be helpful to her in understanding the call of God to service and the importance of following God's will in this matter. To announce the call of service to Mary, God sends the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel is the bearer of good news. Good news which will affect one person in a very special way. Good news that will benefit all of God's people in an eternal way. We're going to see God calls Mary into his service through the angel Gabriel. We've got a mysterious greeting. And then we've got a magnificent announcement. And then the miraculous explanation. The mysterious greeting. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So now it's been 6 months since Gabriel last appeared. He appeared to Zechariah the priest in the temple and announced the coming birth of his prophet's son John, who was to prepare the way for the Messiah. Now, that was in the province of Judea, way down south in Palestine. And Zechariah, because he did not accept the word of God as true for him, has been silent for now these 6 months. His wife, however, has conceived and has remained hidden during her pregnancy. And now, at about 6 months, now she is able to go out and be known that she has conceived a child. Buzz about the priest who couldn't give the benediction at the temple has all died down by now, and life has returned to normal in Judea. But up in heaven, the time has come for the working out of our salvation to take another giant leap forward. Focus of the moment is now shifted 90 miles to the north of Jerusalem to a very small province in Rome called Galilee. And God Almighty is once again going to send his special angel Gabriel on the mission. Gabriel is to be sent to a young woman, Mary, who lives in the town of Nazareth. Luke doesn't tell us how old Mary is. The range is from 12 all the way up maybe to 20, probably more in the middle teens. He does tell us she was old enough to be pledged to be married. We also know that she was old enough to know her scriptures. Luke tells us she was a virgin. That is very important for a couple reasons. We understand that she is a virtuous woman, because she's saving herself for marriage, and that was not the case in the ungodly culture around them. It was very unimportant for the Gentile girls of the day to keep themselves pure. But among the life of God's covenant people, sexual purity was very important. So Mary is a young girl living a life according to the law of God as best she can. Luke tells us she was pledged to a man by the name of Joseph. And his comment about Joseph is that he was a descendant of King David. Now, you might know, or you may not, but in Jewish society, if you were betrothed or engaged, It was much more strict than what we have in our day and age. The Jewish society viewed engagements as if the couple were already married. The rules regarding marriage were the rules regarding their engagement, and the only difference was they did not live together, nor would they have sexual relationships until the formal marriage ceremony. So Mary, who may be part of the royal family, is engaged to Joseph, who is of the royal family, and Gabriel comes to this young lady. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now, Luke doesn't tell us anything about the circumstances of the visit. He just gives their conversation. He begins with words of assurance. The tone of the greeting is one of joy. It is one of peace. Everything he says in his greeting is designed to help Mary be calm, to be able to hear what he has to say. The word greeting indicates that there is familiarity, there is friendliness, there is love towards this woman. Because most often the Jews regarded a visit from God or an angel as words of judgment. And so Gabriel has to bring her away from that idea. He tells her that you are highly favored. So again, you don't begin a message of condemnation or judgment with greetings, you who are highly favored. So the idea is that Mary understand that this is a loving message from her God to her. He says, basically what he says is, "This God, the sovereign king of creation and the ruler of the world, has chosen to look upon you with love and kindness. He has chosen to work in you and through you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. Luke doesn't describe Gabriel, what he looked like, and we know it wasn't his appearance that frightened Mary, it was his words. You see, Mary may have had an inkling after hearing those words that God was going to have her perform some kind of service. God told Mary, or Gabriel told Mary, "The Lord is with you." And that's Bible language. And in the Bible, when God comes and the prophet comes and he says, "The Lord is with you," that means that that person has just been called into service to God. And they are expected to obey God because they have a duty to fulfill in that call, in that service. One example is the angel of the Lord, God the Son, before he became incarnate, comes to a man named Gideon. And he says, "Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior of Israel." When he said, "The Lord is with you," God was calling Gideon to defend Israel by gathering a very, very tiny army and defeating a huge number of people from the east who were tormenting Israel. Other times in the Bible when it says, "The Lord is with you," it's a call to obedience. It's a time for faith to obey God and receive His blessings. And so Mary didn't let those words go in one ear and out the other. She takes the words of the angel to heart and begins considering the meaning. The joyful greeting has an exact opposite effect on Mary. Instead of rejoicing, she's upset. She's nervous. Luke uses Mary's reactions. The words that he uses are the strongest words possible. She's greatly troubled and she's agitated. The angel Gabriel is patient. He's going to do it again. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So there's a young girl who has just been blown away by an announcement by the angel. and she's nervous, and she's speechless. So Gabriel begins his message again. Don't be afraid. Interestingly enough, this is the command that is given most often in the Bible by God. Fear arises in us when the situation gets out of control and my ability to direct it to my desired end is not sufficient. It's out of control and I can't stop it. When we lose control of the situation, we can be caught up in fear. And fear prevents us from acting in obedience to what we've been called to do. We'll freeze and do nothing, or we'll run away and escape the situation. Gabriel tells Mary, I know you're overwhelmed, but at this moment, you must put your faith and trust in God and have the courage to believe what he says, do what he commands. Be assured of God's kindness and goodness that is given to you, for this is what he has planned for you. Those are wise words, aren't they? Wise words for those of us who are asked to serve in God's kingdom. Those of us who, when we're asked, are just totally overwhelmed or troubled by the task that we've been asked to perform. Don't be afraid. Listen to God. Trust his words. Obey his commands. And he will work in you, and he will work through you. Some of the best elders I've ever seen did not even have a high school education. And they knew they needed God to get their work done. And they did it well, relying upon God. And God did great things through them. Same with teachers. Same with nursery. Same with every job in the church. God will give you what you need in order to do the job. Now we have the announcement. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High. If the first words of the angel's greeting was troubling, the next words in the message of the angel are overwhelming and astonishing. It begins with the promise that Mary is going to have a baby. The announcement of Gabriel presented to Mary in such a way that she can understand what it means. Word for word, Gabriel's message to Mary is, behold, you shall conceive in your womb and will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, does that ring a bell? That sentence, does that ring a bell at all? I have to tell you, at 50, 62 years, it didn't ring a bell to me. But let me read this Old Testament passage for you, a very familiar one to the Jews of that day. Behold, a virgin having a child in her womb will bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Gabriel takes Isaiah 7, verse 14, the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, and he personalizes it for Mary as the fulfillment of that prophecy. Isaiah said, behold, you shall conceive in your womb. Gabriel says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and have a child in her womb. Gabriel tells Mary, behold, you, that virgin, will conceive and bear a child. Isaiah says, you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Gabriel says, you will call his name Jesus, God is salvation. So Gabriel has taken Isaiah's prophecy, personalized it to Mary, and then he has filled it out a little bit more with who this Emmanuel is by giving him the name Yahweh is salvation. And so Mary's God's going to be son. Her son is going to be God with us, but he's also going to be God with us to bring us salvation. And so he's taking more of the teaching of the Old Testament to help Mary understand exactly who it is she's going to bear. The second part of the announcement points to Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy and promise. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The son of Mary is also going to be descendant of King David, which is very important in the Bible because he is the king and he has been promised an eternal kingdom. In 2 Samuel 7:16, God says to David, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." And again, you see how Gabriel was talking in Bible language of a verse that Mary would know very well, that David's family would one day be resurrected and a king would arise out of there and he would reign forever. So it patches the Old Testament together all the way around Mary and her son Jesus, who he is, what he's going to do. Mary is going to become the mother of the promised Messiah, the eternal king of Israel, who is also going to be God. Well, what's Mary's reaction to the announcement? Did she understand this message? Probably not. Did she believe the message? Yes, she did. "How will this be," Mary says, "since I'm a virgin?" She believed the message of the angel. She believed it could happen and that God could do it, but she wondered, how is it going to happen? How is it that I am going to have a child since I have no husband? Since the beginning of the world, every child that has ever been conceived in a womb has done so by the coming together of a man and a woman in sexual relationships, and she's wondering, I have nothing to go back to look at to see this. This is new, and I don't understand how it's going to happen. So it's not the truth of the message, it's almost the mechanics of the message she's wondering about. How can the impossible happen? It's what she's asking. The answer to Mary's question is given in the form of two parallel sentences. They both say the same thing, but they use different words to help her understand it. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And then we see, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." The angel tells Mary, it's not a man who is going to father your child. Your child will be the result of a miraculous deed by the God, the Holy Spirit. We know him as the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity, associated with God's creative power in the universe and the source of life itself. And the Jews understood that. In the Nicene Creed, we Christians have confessed it. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. We got that from Psalm 104 in talking of all God's creatures. The psalmist says, when you send your spirit, they are created and they renew the face of the earth. So the Holy Spirit will be the agent who creates life in the womb of Mary. And the second line ties it all together. You see, the Holy Spirit is the power of God Most High, who is going to bring forth a child, and therefore we understand the Holy Spirit to be God. And because the Holy Spirit brings forth Jesus, the child can legitimately be called the Most High or the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity also. However, even the explanation of the miracle by the angel really cannot increase Mary's faith in God's promise that much, because she doesn't understand it. We don't understand it very well. But God doesn't leave her there. He continues to work with her. He gives her a sign. She didn't ask for it, but she's wondering about it. And so he says, here, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to give you a sign. We're going to examine that sign in her response tonight as we see how God cares for this woman who has a monumental place in the history of salvation. So here we have the history of salvation. We have taken a giant leap forward. The angel Gabriel has just called Mary into service, into the plan of salvation in God's history. She's going to bear the promised Messiah King of Israel. Her fears have been calmed. The New Testament passages that talk about her job, her service to God, have been explained to her and applied to her. She's going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus, who is going to be both God and man. He's going to be created by a once in the history of the world miracle performed by God the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus puts him in the light of promise and prophecy. He's going to be King David's son who rises to the throne and becomes king forever. Now, she may not understand all this, and we know she didn't. She may not have contemplated all the ramifications of what it means that I'm going to have a baby when I'm not married. She may not be able to imagine all the joys and all the sorrows that she's about to go through in the next 33, 34 years. But she does not give in to fear. She does not give in to faithlessness. She accepts the call, throws herself into the arms of the sovereign God to work out His will and His plan of salvation in her and through her. See, the calls to service we also receive from God, they won't come through angels. Very few people in history have ever had visits from angels. No, our calls to service may come from the member of the session, may come from someone else who's working in the church who needs us to help. People who need us to serve in the church in some kind of capacity. This call to service may not be as great or as difficult as or as important as the call to Mary, but yet it is important to the kingdom of God and to this church. We have to ultimately see it as a call from God. He's calling us because He wants to use us for service in His kingdom. We do not fear. We do not deny the call. We do not run away. We answer, knowing that God is going to work in us through this work and through us in our work. And those who throw themselves and depend on God in their service to God come to find and to know God in a much stronger and profound way. Ways that we could not experience had we not taken those steps of obedience in faith. If we had never worked in the church, we would never know the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us. So, Mary is the example. A teenager, if you will, God sets her up in front of us and says, this is how you handle a call to service. And then, tonight we're going to see, this is how I help you in your call to service. May we accept God's call to service wherever it may be, wherever it may direct, and then may we experience in that time God's loving assurance and His faithful provision in that service. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for events in history that you have recorded. Events in history that are important in the history of salvation, but also events in history that can be our teachers as to how you do work with people. How do you work with your saints in building your kingdom? How is it that you work in the hearts and you work through the actions of the one doing the work, displaying your greatness and your glory, accomplishing what needs to be done through their work? Truly, you are an amazing God. You are a gracious God to use people like us who are not the brightest and who are not the best, but yet we are chosen and privilege to experience the wonderful power and faithfulness of our God in our lives. Thank you for Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. May we always live for his name. Amen.